Praise the Lord. Thank you for his precious blood. Thank you, musicians and singers. Pastor Randy Snow, can you come? I give honor to Brother Randy Snow. This man pastors a great church in Denton, Texas. He's my friend. He's a good man of God. There's a lot of good men of God out there, but I don't trust everybody. Amen? It's just the way it is. And very trustworthy man. Love him. I love his spirit. I love what he's doing in Denton, Texas, and what he's affected a lot of people and helped a lot of people. I know last things are lasting things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Preach to us.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Gregory. Don't you love Pastor Matt Gregory? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Gregory. Before I forget, thank you to everybody here at the local church that has made this happen this weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, come on. There's some of these guys over here. Come on, give me a little right here. Praise the Lord. A lot of chairs, a lot of things that was cleaned and preparation that went in a long time before now. And then they'll be getting ready in less than 24 hours. They'll be having church in here again. And so all of you that stayed over today in the rain, God bless your heart. Brother Morris, he told me last night, said, I got a long ways to drive. I'm going to be listening. Brother Morris, you did fantastic. I'm telling you what, last night's message, amen. Praise the Lord. I was going to preach on David, but he covered David, so. And then I was going to preach about the mantle, but Brother Jeremy took care of the mantle. I won't even touch the mantle, praise God. And the yoke and everything, as he went through that yesterday, what a powerful word from the Lord, how the Lord helped us. And I want every pastor and every youth pastor that's brought young people here, I want you to stand. Look at this group. This is the people you need to thank for getting you here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for having a burden enough to get the young people to a conference instead of staying home to watch Gunsmoke. Praise the Lord. You had it in your heart. You'll drive while they sleep. You'll drive all the way home. You'll get up in the morning, teaching Sunday school class, preaching in the pulpit, and because you had a burden for these young people. Like our brother said last night, I do not believe for a moment that it is going to go unnoticed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm debating on doing something. Would it be all right if I just take my liberty? Four of you said okay. So I was praying for at least three. Right there, Arkansas, big boy right here. Yeah, begging, come here. Hallelujah. I forgot. I'm nervous this morning. Forgive me. Tell me your name again, son. Jared. Yes, Jared. Hallelujah. Can we get Jared a microphone? He's going to help me today. He don't know it yet, but he's going to. You're going to sit right here, Jared. You just thought, is that your girlfriend over there? Well, you just thought you was going to sit by her today. Praise the Lord. You've sat by her all week. Amen. Hallelujah. Test his mic. Make sure it's working. Do we need to turn it on for him? All right. He is from Arkansas. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's all right. I'm from Arkansas, too. Praise the Lord. Let's try it again.
Test this.
Yeah, it does have the light on. All right. All right, you got him now. Try it again.
Test this.
All right, give him plenty of volume there, Brother Smith. Hallelujah. I knew Brother Smith when he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Here he is, praise the Lord. A lot of folks. And I remember when I was a young person, I used to drive by Neosho High School, and I was in the Christian school, and I always wanted to play baseball. And I'd go by and see number 10, center fielder, Jeff Bradley. And little did I know that the Lord in his grace and mercy would call him into the ministry and me into the ministry. I was not voted most likely to succeed. As a matter of fact, when I got saved and called into the ministry, for the first several years that I would go out and preach, my principal from the high school would drive 3 and 4 hours and sit and cry through the whole service. I promise. And he would raise his hands and say, "There is a God in heaven. If he could save that boy and make him a preacher, I know there's a God in heaven." I know the Lord has helped us and done some great things in this service. I've been sitting and watching since Thursday night. And my goal and my aim this morning, again, we may clean out the first 4 or 5 rows. Because my purpose this morning is that the power and the presence of God would so touch your heart and your life that you wouldn't just leave here saying that I've been to another youth conference and I got Sister So-and-so's phone number. Praise the Lord. This boy down here done got 3 numbers. Praise God. He's got his phone open right now. My prayer is that you would leave here changed with a determination in your heart. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what all's going to take place in this year. There's a lot of things and doom and gloom that has been forecasted, and never did I think they would shut the doors of the church. I never thought in America they would say, "You stay in your house and don't you come out." But they did. And we did. Well, 4 or 5 of us did. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this, you can leave this place with a determination in your heart that no matter what happens, you're going to serve the Lord. This morning, I want to preach. Thank you again so much for the room, the accommodations, everything. I want to preach to the young people here today a familiar passage of Scripture, but I could not get away from it last night. Sat down and just began to write as the Lord began to prompt our heart, and I'm just going to obey Him. I promise I won't keep you long. I know we've got to get on the road after we get through here. If you would stand with me, we're going to look to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. This is King Nebuchadnezzar right here. Don't he look like a king? Sister, doesn't he look like a king? He does to you anyway. Praise God. You better shake your head, yes. Say hello, King Nebuchadnezzar.
Hello.
My royal subjects. Are you going to help me? Do I need to get somebody else? All right. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that there was some young men that was taken captive in a hostile, wicked society. They was in a foreign land. Did you know you're a pilgrim, a stranger? This is not where you belong. You're just passing through here. The Bible tells us that they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. They said, "We're going to eat different. We're going to act different. We're going to live different. Our God is different." The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, three words, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, pop, hip-hop, country, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The king asked a question, three words. Is it true?
Is it true?
I need you to say it like you.
Is it true?
I have watched in these altars. I watch Thursday night. Can I go ahead? I've watched a few folks that really got in there and was seeking the Lord. Some that was praying because their friends was praying. Some that was praying because the pastor, the youth pastor, was behind them and saying, come on. And I've saw some that was earnestly seeking after God, making a determination that in this wicked society, they're going to stand for God. I've come this morning to ask a question.
Is it true?
I got two come ons.
Is it true?
I want to know this morning, is it true that somebody has made a public declaration that as for me, we're going to serve the Lord? God bless you as you're seated. God bless you as you're seated. Spirit of God, sweep over this house this morning. I know that we are tired. I know that we are weary. We've had a great meeting, and we thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, the culmination of these services this morning, that you would birth it in the heart of every young person, that they would not leave this place the same way that they came, but they would leave with a firm resolution in their heart that they will stand for you no matter what comes their way. They will stand against the wiles of the devil. They will not bow. I pray, Lord, that you would minister and move in these altars. Touch every heart and every life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I want to know,
is it true?
What's your name there, buddy? Right here in the blue shirt. Right there. Yeah. Levi. How old are you, Levi? 15. I got to pray with Brother Levi. Didn't know him Thursday night. He is over there, tears running down his face, seeking the Lord, making a resolution that he's going to serve God. There's another boy I was praying with last night. I don't know him. I'm looking for him. Right back here in the gray jacket. Is that him? Is that the boy I was praying? Was I praying with you last night? You didn't know. Can I go ahead? Okay. He said, okay. He don't know what I'm going to say. He's a trustworthy soul. He was down there praying. Tears was running down, dripping off his chin on his nice tie. He didn't care. He was making a resolution before God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. Listen, if you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to make heaven, you're not going to wind up there in heaven just saying, man, I wonder how I got here. It's going to be because you made up your mind that in a wicked society, in a wicked day, you said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand for him. Listen, you need to understand the seriousness of this hour that we're living in. You need to understand the seriousness of this service that we're in this morning. It's, can I go right? I'm going to take my liberty. Listen to me, friend. It's not a time to be sitting here and talking. It's not a time to be carrying on. You don't know when you're going to stand before God in eternity. I preached the message of a funeral message of a 16-year-old boy just a few days ago that had been in our services off and on. He was in a hotel room with his mother while she was shooting drugs. They don't know what happened. All they know is he was shot in the chest with a 9mm, and the next few days I was preaching his funeral while young people was gathered around. I've had them young. I've had them middle age. I'm telling you, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You better make up your mind the seriousness of the hour in which we're living in, that you're going to serve God. Hallelujah. Yes. Going home from here, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going to be. This will be the last East Texas conference for some of you in this place right now. Some of you, statistics will prove you ain't going to make it back. It's going to be your last service. I'd hate to think that I'm sitting there playing around, carrying on and talking to my neighbor, and find out in the next year they backslid and got away from God. And me stand before God and God say, as on a Saturday morning, I was trying to get a hold of their heart, but you was a carrying on and talking and having fun and instead of praying and getting a hold of God. Listen, I didn't come for you to say, man, what a preacher. I come to help somebody this morning to realize the sincerity of the hour in which we're living in. Some has made a declaration. Has anybody in this house saying, I'm going to serve God?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'll stand for Jesus until tonight at 7.
Some has made a declaration.
Is it true?
Oh, you're doing good, Nebuchadnezzar. Don't he look like Nebuchadnezzar? I don't believe Nebuchadnezzar was some little old malnourished. Come on, help me now. I believe Nebuchadnezzar thought he had everything that he needed. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the world. Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of himself. Oh, go ahead and look in the mirror. It's all about me. It's an image. Everything you do, you thinking about old self. You set up an image for self. If you're not careful, you'll be worshiping that image of self. Nebuchadnezzar set up an image. He said, you're going to bow to old self, like the world and its fashions. But there were some young people that said, we're not going to bow to self. Is there anybody in here that is saying, I'm not going to bow to the world and its fashions? Listen to me now. Listen, there is a society outside. They don't understand why you're in here this morning. They don't understand why you're in the house of the Lord getting up early on a Saturday morning to come and to be in the presence of God. And they expect you to like what they like. They expect you when you go to school to be just like them. But there's some young people that have said, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to serve your ideas. Gay is not okay.
Did he just say that?
Premarital relations is not okay. A little sin is not okay. Running with the world is not okay. I have made my decision. It's true, O King. I'm gonna bow. I'm not gonna bow to what you say. Oh, but you have to. No, I don't. There's a God in heaven that's called me out. You must be separated. You must be separated. Holy means separated unto God. No man can serve two masters. You're going to either live in sin or live in the Son of God. You're either going to love the world or you're going to love the Father. You're either going to follow after one or the other. You can't come in here and shout glory and run outside and play with the world and all of its fashions and all of its fads. But if you'll separate yourself to God and make a proclamation, the power and the presence of God will go with you. I'm not that old. I know what it's like. I was working a job at Tyson Food, a chicken place, and the state wrestling champ worked right beside me. It was me and him. And about 85, mostly ladies and young ladies. You know what I did? Went and bought me a set of barbells. Because everybody was carrying on about him. They wasn't looking at Randy, they was looking at Robert. If I could just have two or three to say, Randy, you sure look shot. He come in there with his sleeves rolled up, his guns hanging out. Kind of like I look now. But I went to a camp and I found out my identity was not in this physical flesh, but was in him. I went back to that workplace and I made up my mind. I didn't need their approval. I needed God's approval. One day Robert was going through one of the worst times in his life. I said, Robert, why don't you come go to church with me? Robert came and went to come to church with me on a Wednesday night. I'm going to be honest with you. Get ready, girls. This is good right here. I brought Robert in. The girls in the church didn't look at me. He was looking at Robert. Shout with me now. Robert sat there and Brother D.C. Branham gave the message. When he got through, he gave the altar call. Robert got up, walked down, fell in the altar, began to weep and cry and pray and wept his way through to salvation. Hallelujah, glory to God. There was something that happened in my heart at the age of 16. I found out I don't need man's approval. I need to stand up and say I'm not going to bow to the world and its system. I'm going to serve God for the sake of men and women. Hallelujah. When you try to serve the flesh and you say you're going to serve God, it brings confusion not only to your heart but to the world. That's the reason why the churches aren't full and overflowing, because we got a church that says they love the world and love Christ. You can't love them both. I've heard there's some, though, this weekend that said they're going to serve God. I come to ask a question.
Is it true?
Okay, we're going to practice. You need to answer when the question. We're going to go to school for just a moment. whenever there's a question given, for you to pass this class, classroom participation, you need to answer.
Is it true?
Hey, that's better. Some of you is going to pass. I come to ask a question this morning.
Is it true?
I want to know, is there some that have made a declaration that they're not going to bow to Nebuchadnezzar and his fashions? Like Elijah this morning, I stand and cry out, if God is God, then serve him. If he's the God of heaven, then let's serve him. We're not going to bow to you, Nebuchadnezzar. And we're not going to bow to your music. Is he really going to do that? Is he going to deal with, like, music? That is, like, so old fogey. I don't even know who they are anymore. I had to go Google it last night at 12:30. Why is teenagers so caught up in music? The number one reason is because it brings them energy. It makes them to dance. That's not the kind of dancing you need, honey. Listen to me. You don't need to be moved by some music. You don't need. What you need is to be dancing under the unction of the Holy God of heaven. You don't need to be moved by some kind of infiltrated, unadulterated. Listen to me, friend. We need a generation that's going to stand and say, I refuse to bow. Sit down. Sit down. Another reason, I got this off Google. I don't usually preach off the internet, but it was good. Another reason why young people download and buy that music is because they can relate. They relate to the message of the hip hop. They relate to the message of what it's talking about. Listen. This is our message out here. This is what we relate to. We relate that I was a sinner. I've been saved by the grace of God. We sing as sweet as the song I'm singing today. I've been redeemed. I don't need Hank Williams. I don't need the Backstreet Boys. Leave them in the back street until they get saved. You hear me, friend? I don't want to partake of that. I've heard there's some. I've heard there's some at the East Texas Youth Conference that said, I'm not going to bow. What I want to know is.
Is it true?
What I want to know is.
Is it true?
Some of you, as soon as you get home, you need to go in there and start removing and bringing out those bondages and taking that out of your house and burning it. I preached a youth retreat at our church. I wasn't saying anything about music. I was talking about the strongholds in your life. I talked about the toehold, the foothold, and the stronghold. Because if the devil can just get a toehold, he moves in and gets a foothold. And then he has access and he builds a stronghold. See, that's what you don't understand about that music. That's not what makes you live. I can't do without that. Oh, what you need to do is make a firm declaration that I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to get rid of all of those things. In the middle of that retreat, Jake got up, run to his car. He was old enough to drive. He run out to his car. He come back in. He had CDs by the handful. He was a real quiet boy. He laid them down on the ground. He started jumping up and down. He weighed about 112 pounds and was about 6'3". Everybody's looking around, what in the world? I mean, all of a sudden, plastic and vinyl starts, and all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I seen that boy jumping around and shout. You know why? Because he was breaking away from the things that had him bound. I'm telling you, friend, I've heard there's some that's made a declaration that they're not going to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's music. And for your older generation, I don't need Elvis Presley to sing me Amazing Grace. Get you somebody that's been redeemed that knows what they're talking about. Well, that's not in my notes. I've heard something.
Is it true?
See, the thing was with these boys is there was a multitude in that valley. We don't know how many thousand Israelite boys was down in there. And they said, when you hear the music, I want you to bow down. And every one of them bowed except three. Can I just go ahead and preach to you? There's a lot of you in here. But when the pressure comes for you to bow, but if I could just get four, five, six, or seven and say, I don't care what they say, we ain't gonna bow. See, those three boys right there brought revival to a whole nation. Because they said, what you've heard is true, we will not bow. But what would happen if 100% in this house this morning said, I'm not going to bow to peer pressure? Oh, Brother Snow, but everybody else is doing it. You know, it's so hard for me at my school because everybody else is doing it. I didn't ask you who all was doing it. I asked who was going to stand. Well, every other church, you know, they're all doing it. That's not what I asked you, what the church down the road was doing. I'm asking you, are you going to stand? Peer pressure. Look how bowing down. Look how it's affected you right now. You're depressed, you're lonely, you're cutting yourself, you're involved in pornography, because you've been bowing down. Oh, I'm preaching to you. Listen to me right now. I'm telling you, just a few days ago, I got a call from our youth pastor, and he said, Brother Snow, I just had one of the young men to text me. He was trying to reach out to a young lady, and he said she was going to take her life. And he said, for some reason, I feel like she meant it. I said, that's all I need. I called her mother. Their family separated. I called her mother and I said, is she with you? She said, no, she's at her father's house. I said, you need to go get her right now. You need to call her. You need to talk to her and make sure it's well with her. I don't have her number. I don't know where she's at, but I feel an impression on my heart that right now you need to go get a hold of her. It was a Friday night about 9 o'clock. She called back in a little bit and said, well, I talked to her brother and said she's over there and she was taking a bath and she's in. I said, listen, that's not good enough. I said, the Spirit of God has prompted my heart. Why? She didn't feel accepted. She didn't feel like nobody liked her. She didn't feel like she could fit in. And she had bowed to the world system. And she was bowing to the lies of the enemy. That she needed to be accepted by everybody else. I want you to know. I said, that's not good enough. She called her ex-husband. He went and beat on the door. He said, I can't hear anything. I said, bust through the door. They went in, found her with both wrists slit. They grabbed a hold of her and stopped the bleeding. She's alive today. I'm telling you, friend, has it got you this far? I said, has it got you this far? You go ahead and bow. You go ahead and try to fit in, but you'll never do it. You don't need to be accepted in this world. You're not supposed to be accepted in this world.
Is it true?
Is it true that you're not going to bow? They don't like me. Sorry, that's their loss. And sad to say, it happens in the church. We've got our own little clique. I didn't come for you to vote that I was the best. I come to help you this morning. There's young people in this place right now. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you know in your heart that you are struggling with trying to find your identity and figure out who you are. I come to tell you on a Saturday morning that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And He has plans for you that are literally out of this world. And you do not need to bow to the world system. I don't care if everybody else bows. You don't bow to the peer pressure. You stand for the Lord, knowing that you're beloved in Him, and that He loves you and He's coming again for you. We've just baptized this microphone. See, if you're not going to bow, you're going to have to stay standing. When everybody else sits down, if it's true,
is it true?
Yes. You're going to stand up. I had one. Oh, there's two. Three, four, five. Okay, that's good. That's good. My Lord, in a world that's gone crazy, I thank the Lord for Governor Abbott. Let me run that through again. I thank the Lord for Governor Abbott. Governor Abbott got on the phone. I was on a phone conversation with Governor Abbott after the pandemic broke out. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, the first thing we're opening up, next Sunday, we're opening up the church. Because he said, and I heard him say it, the church is the most important house in the state of Texas. He said these words. He said these words. The last thing I open up will be the bar. And it was. Write one up for a politician that said something and then did it. I said, what could we, there was several of them on there. One of them said, what could we pray with you about for, Governor? He said, you know my state. I'm in a wheelchair. We don't know what all this, he said, there's all kinds of information that I'm getting. He said, I understand that with my disabilities, that if I catch this thing, if I catch this COVID, that it could take my life. But my life is in the hands of the Lord, and I am believing that God is going to help me. And this is the first thing I'm going to do is open up the most important houses of worship. Listen to me, friend. Listen, you don't have, when the world around him is saying, this is what's going to happen, and you got to do this. He said, we're going to open, listen, there's a God in heaven that's saying, turn the people of God loose. Let the people of God stand. Stand up. And if you stand up, can y'all see that brother standing right there holding that boy? Them behind him can't hardly see around him. You know why? Because he's standing up. If you stand up, you're going to stand out. When you go back to your school from this conference, you're not going to just fit in, look like everybody else, act like everybody else, listen to the same kind of stuff and that, carry on like everybody else. You're not going to laugh at the same jokes. You're not going to run with the same crowd. There's going to be something different. You're going to stand out, hallelujah, and you may be standing all alone. But if you're standing under the unction and the power of God, it's worth it. There's a world telling us what we got to do, how we got to act, what all we got to accept. I don't know how old Brother Minor is. It's in our church. Brother Minor, he's probably 65, 66. Works at Walmart. Anybody been to Walmart? Seven of you been to Walmart. Works in automotive. Walmart. Man come in there. Sent him a six-pack down. Brother Minor said, sir, I'm sorry, you'll have to go somewhere else to buy that. Oh, no, he didn't. He could lose his job refusing to sell that man beer. Man said, what do you mean? I'll have to go somewhere else. You're a cash register, aren't you? You got it right here. I'm going to pay for my beer. Brother Minor said, well, I don't believe that drinking beers right, and I preached the gospel, and so I couldn't rightfully stand before God and stand, even though I'm having to get this job here at Walmart. And the guy said, are you serious? You are not going to sell me this beer. And Brother Minor said something came over him. Because when you stand up, you're not going to have to stand there alone. He said, sir, I'm a born-again child of God, and I could not stand rightfully before God and sell you this alcohol, knowing what it could do to your soul. The man broke down and began to cry. He said, I'm a backslid Pentecostal preacher's son, and I've been waiting for somebody to stand up and tell me what I need to do. I wish to God he would lay it on somebody's heart to stand up and stand out. This Holy Ghost fire in a world of darkness will not go unnoticed. God set us on fire in this place and send us out into a dark world so the world could see and know that we've been with the Lord.
Is it true?
Yes. Okay. We're getting ready to come pray in just a minute. Get ready. Because somebody's going to try to talk you out of it. Old Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, I like you boys.
Is it true?
Yes. I like you boys. I like you boys.
I like you boys. I love you, young people.
I'm going to give you one more chance.
I'm going to give you one more chance.
You know, I realize you've been down there at that conference and everything, and you got all wrapped up in that emotion, and, you know, you was under peer pressure there because there's so many people that was praying, and now you're right here looking at me. And you're going to face some serious wrath if you don't bow down to what I said you're going to do. So I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Otherwise, we're going to block you off our Facebook page. Otherwise, we're not going to accept you, and you can't run with us if you're not going to go do what we want to do. If when you get in the car, you're going to tell us turn off that ungodly music, and we ain't. If you ain't going to laugh and like our TV shows, if you ain't going to laugh our series and go with what we're after, then we're going to give you one more opportunity. And these old boys sat up and said, look, we don't. spare your breath, Neb. You don't need, bring that old boy over here, plays that flute so good. Bring him over here. We're going to get, not leave. Shut down. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to question it. We've done made up our mind that we will not bow. We're not, you don't have to go through it again. I made a commitment. You can't talk me out of it. If you go back to your city and you go back to your church in the morning, listen, I literally have families that are in the house of God at Faith Tabernacle because of young people that went to a camp or went to a retreat and they got a hold of it and they went home and they told their parents, no, we're not going back. Mom and Dad said, you're going to go down. No. I'm sorry, but you can go talk to the pastor. We're not doing that anymore. We're not going back and participating in that. And their families are saved. Their aunts and uncles are saved. There's one young girl I'm thinking of. She's got 12 in her family that'll be in the house of the Lord in the morning, because at the age of 15 she made a declaration that I'm not gonna bow, and she stood up. Quit telling me God can't use you. Quit telling me you gotta wait. What God's looking for right now is somebody that'll say it's true. Can't talk me out of it. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. And get ready. You're going to face a fire. You're going to face some tests. You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be separated. Isaiah said, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Oh, but I wanted everybody to like me. Can't believe it. I said I was going to serve the Lord, and since I started serving the Lord, everything has just went haywire. You've forgotten where you was at. You've forgotten what all you faced and what depression you was in and the joy that you felt. When you leave here, don't you stop praying. You pray more when you get home than you did while you was here at this retreat. You get a hold of the Word of God. You get behind your pastor. You get busy for the kingdom of God. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. Get ready. You're going to face a fire. What to do? They bound them hand and foot. And the king got mad. Show him your mad face. He was madder than that, but he was mad. Because they had defied him. They had defied his image. They had defied what he had set up. The world isn't going to like you. Listen, I've had people throw things at me. I've had them hit me literally. I've had them look at me and tell me, you don't know how to preach. You ain't no pastor. I said, you're right. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. But I do know this. I'm following after the grace and the mercies of God. Hallelujah. And I made up my mind. I don't need your approval. I need God's approval. And I'll stand for him and I will not bow. And the only thing the king put on him was what was burned up. The old boys that threw them in there, they had to breathe, and when they opened their mouth to breathe, to throw them into that furnace, heat was seared their lungs, they fell over dead. King Nebuchadnezzar said, I got them now.
I got them now.
Your mic's going dead, Neb. Here. But did he? See, we know how the story ends. You may be laughed at. You may be made fun of. Your family may tell you you're stupid following after the things of God, but you don't bow. You go face the furnace. You just keep going right on. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar looked up. And what did he say? He said, did not we cast, come here, boys. Didn't we cast three in? Unos, dos, tres. Is it cinco or cuatro? Poquito español, see? What is, my brother, what's next? Cuatro. Unos, dos, tres, cuatro. Unos, dos, tres, cuatro. Did not we cast in three? I see four, and the fourth man is likened to the Son of God. I'm telling you, now you hear me. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere do we read that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever saw the fourth man. We don't read that they saw him, but we read that Nebuchadnezzar saw him. I'm telling you, you may not see him with you. You may not see him with you. You may not see him with you, but there's a world on the outside that'll see and know that because you did not bow, you will not burn. And that's who needs to see him when you're in the middle of the confusion, when you're in the middle of the death, when you're in the middle of the trial. The world's going to say, how are they doing that? There's got to be somebody with them. You're in the middle of the trial. Some of you right now, you're in the middle of a hardship and you're saying, Lord, where are you at? The fact that you're in the house of God on a Saturday morning proves to you that he's right there with you. He's going to see you through. The promise that you've not died yet. Come and help me, musicians. Come and help me. Listen, I'm sick and tired of the excuses. Sit down, I'm not through yet. Musicians, come and help me. Thank you, Nebuchadnezzar. You did good. I'm sick and tired of the excuses as to why young people can't serve God. Well, I had a boy named Michael. Picked him up on the bus. He lived right around the corner from the church. Michael may be watching this morning from Illinois. Here he is. Come in on the bus. Michael, you can make it. I can't make it. I don't have what everybody else has. Your kids, they got a good home. I don't even. My mom told me last night that the guy that died that I was calling daddy when I was 14 wasn't even really my dad. She's getting ready to move. She told me she does not even want me to go with her. I don't have a home. Michael, there's a family in the church that's come and said you can move in with them. I don't have anything. Quit telling me what you don't have. I come to tell you what you do have. There's a God in heaven that's called you. There's a God in heaven that's for you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? What you've been through, God wants to use for the glory of God. What the enemy meant for evil, God wants to turn it around. Quit telling me what you can't do and how bad you've got it. There's young people that have never experienced the power and the presence and the touch of God like you've experienced in this service. Start getting these chairs ready. I sent Michael to Bible school. Sister Snow went up there, put his room all together. Michael called me and said, I'm around all these other kids. They got all this stuff. They're talking about all their stuff. I don't have nothing. I don't have what they got. I don't have what they got. I don't have a mom and dad that's paying my school bill. I've got to work. Now, mind you, the boy's 6'6". About 300 pounds. I'd talk to him. I said, son, quit focusing on what you don't have. Look at what you do have. You got a little lady in the church that said, as long as you won't go to school, I'll pay your way. You got neighborhood kids around you that don't know a thing about the touch of God. And here you are in a place where you can quit telling me what you don't have. Make up your mind. You're not going to bow to the pity. You know what happened? He went too far. He went too far. He kept singing that sad song until Sister Snow, stand up, Sister Snow. She is the senior pastor of Faith Tabernacle. I'm just the assistant. She called him up and she said, now, boy, you listen here. You need to start focusing on this, and if you don't, I'm going to come down there, I'm going to take them covers off your bed. If you don't quit crying about that, I was in the background going, oh my goodness, that boy done went too far. She said, you make up your mind that you're going to get in there and you're going to serve God no matter what happens. No matter who likes you, no matter who don't, no matter if you got money, no matter if you don't, God has been good to you. Can I tell you today, he's working with Brother David Brim. He's their church bus pastor, has about 100 kids now that bus in on Sunday. Why? Because he made up his mind he wasn't going to listen to the lies of the devil and the excuses. You hear me? God's got a plan for you that's out of this world. He's wanting to know if you're going to take what you've heard this week and you're going to take it back home. And is it true that you're not going to bow and quit and give in? You need to hear me. Some of you still don't have the seriousness of this moment. I preached a youth camp several times and right outside of Joplin in Racine, Missouri. At that campground a few years ago, there was a girl that was there at that camp. Her mom and dad had been telling her and talking to her and sent her to that camp to get a hold of the Lord. But she had found her a 16-year-old boyfriend online. He told her all the things that she wanted to hear. He had sent her pictures. She had sent him pictures. Be careful. He said, so you're coming to this camp? She said, yes. He said, I'm going to come out there on Thursday and I'm going to pick you up. And we're just going to run off. She said, okay. About 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, phone text message went off. And he said, I'm working late, sending my dad out to get you. He'll be in a little brown Chevelle. She said, okay. Meet me out there by the gate. Meet him out there. That 15-year-old girl, because the preacher don't know. They're just all up in this religion stuff. Mom and dad don't know. They don't care about me. They don't love me. So this 15-year-old girl run by the gate, run out there and got in that old brown Chevelle with the boy's father and took off. And one of her friends saw her and went and told the camp counselor. Camp counselor got a hold of the camp director, who immediately called the police. The man pulled over by the grace of God at a gas station just a few miles up the road. Police car swooped in there, and when they pulled around his car, the man threw up his hands. Are you hearing me? The man threw up his hands. They walked around behind the car, looked at the little girl, 15 years old, sitting in the seat, still thinking she's going to see her 16-year-old boyfriend. They said, "Honey, get out of the car." They brought her around to the back of the car, lifted up the trunk. There was a gas can. There was plastic, duct tape. They flipped open that man's computer and they pointed their finger at that girl and they said, "This man right here has been chasing girls all across the nation. This is the 16-year-old boy that you thought you was talking to and dating. This man right here was taking you out to abuse you, cut you in pieces, trap you, and then burn your body. It's only by the grace of God that you're here." You go ahead and act like the preacher's an old fogey. You go ahead and act like your parents are being mean because they're trying to protect you and help you and keep you. But I'm telling you, there's a devil that has done everything he can and is doing everything he can to destroy you and take you away from what the power of God, the presence of God has for you. But this morning, you've been given an opportunity to make a clear declaration before the world that it's true. I'm not going to bow. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'll not be destroyed by the adversary. I'll live for Jesus. I need every young person to stand and come to this altar. I want you to gather in here right now. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't want you to play games this morning. Some of you and some of your friends are never going to make it to another Pentecostal meeting unless you get serious with God right now. You know what's going on in your heart. The Spirit of God, come on, squeeze right on in here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I want you to lift your hands toward heaven right now. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven and say, "Lord, I give you everything I have. I give you everything I have. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm making a declaration." Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Hallelujah. "Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm tired of the excuses." Help me pray with them, folks. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is true. It is true. I'm not going to bow. I'm not just playing games. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to stand for you, Lord. I'm going to stand for you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Hallelujah.
My decision. I have
said. Hey, that's right, young man.
I have drawn a line.
Cut away from that relationship. There's a reason why the man of God has told you don't do that. Hallelujah.
And the cross before.
I'm not going to bow.
The grace of God.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
I have made my decision. I have stayed.
Yes. Serious right now.
I will serve the Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I have made my decision.
Hallelujah.
I have said.
take my claim. Hallelujah.
I have drawn a line in the sand, and I won't be ashamed.
Yeah.
The world behind me and the cross before, by the grace of God, I will serve. Decide.